Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. God is good. I'm wondering if you guys can give a little update of how it went with the Kicks for Kids. So can you do that real quick? I would like to give an update.
Okay, so if you don't know, last year it was on my heart to bring in new shoes for the homeless students because I had found out about this major need in our community. Like, as of 2018, there was 97 homeless families in just the Bullhead City District. That does not even include Fort Mojave or Mojave County in general. So then we were raising brand new shoes. So we did that, and then I set a goal this year. I was like, all right, last year we got 301 pairs, I think it was. This year I want to get 350, and then like a week into it, I'm like, no, let's go for 500. And then, and it was crazy, like people just jumped on board. And this year, we actually got 603 pairs of brand new shoes. Yeah, so it's amazing. There's a lot of them still back there waiting to be distributed till after the new year. But we gave out over 100, I think 120 pairs last week for brand new Christmas gifts for these kids, so.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. That was you guys had a part in that. Here at Spirit Life, we were able to help the need in our community. Amen. Lisa, is there a way that you can just do a little update with the foster care? Because Spirit Life was also very involved with that too. I just want to give an update because sometimes we promote a lot of this and we're, you know, giving and stuff, but we never see the actual result of that. So I just want to.
Yeah. So I reached out this year because of COVID. CASA did not do the Winter Wonderland that you're invited to if you're in the foster care. So I reached out to my licensing agent and said, hey, I really want to bless the children in Mojave County that are in foster care. We've been collecting pajamas and books. And so we gave that 2 weeks before Christmas, I think, to our licensing agent that went to Mojave County. But then also we had so much surplus from overflow that we also sent the rest to Northern Arizona as well. So glory to God, we really, and I had a goal too of 100, and my gosh, we reached that and then some. I had so many pajamas, but I'm so grateful for that and I can't wait until next year.
Amen. So. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Spirit Life, you're making a difference. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. All right, so how was everybody's Christmas? It's good? Okay. We had an early family Christmas. My mom and dad, they were going to head back to St. Lucia, and we were going to take the kids up to the Wallapies this year. So we had an early family Christmas, and come to find out, I had bought a gift for my mom way back in October when I went to Oklahoma. And I forgot about the gift, and so I just recently texted her. I actually remember a little while ago now, but I had texted her yesterday that I need to get that gift over to her. So then fast forward, Pastor Ricky and I were talking about, really what the Holy Spirit has for this coming up service and things, and he's like, do you have anything for this coming up service? And I'm like, I'll pray about it and see what the Holy Spirit's saying. And really when I just had that. Really what happened was the Holy Spirit just spoke to me and he said these things and I wrote it down here. Some people treat me like the forgotten gift. And I'm like, wow, Lord. Sometimes they remember, but they don't even take time to unwrap the gift. So this morning, we're going to take the time and unwrap this gift that we know as the Holy Spirit. And we're going to go through some things. There's so much to this that it was hard to even whittle anything down. So, and there's a lot of scripture this morning, and I know that our screens aren't up and working, so let's get out our Bibles. Even if you have your Bible on your phone, that's okay. We're going to go through here. We're going to look at these scriptures. We need to know that this is in the Word of God. Amen. All right, so I'm going to pray. Father God, thank you, Lord, for you meeting us here in this place this morning. Thank you, Jesus, that as I open my mouth, that, Lord, you will fill it, that it will be you speaking to us this morning. We need to hear your word. We need to see your word, Father God. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for always meeting us here. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. So first of all, who is he? Who is the Holy Spirit? And I do want to say the word he, that we don't call the Holy Spirit what is it. We say who is he. So capital H-E. Amen. All right, let's go to Mark 16, 15. We're going to start right there. And we're just kind of like that gift. We're going to just be unwrapping that gift little by little, taking these scriptures, talking about these scriptures, and learning more about the person of the Holy Spirit. Amen? All right, Mark 16, 15. I'm just going to give you some time because now we're turning our pages. We're looking at the Bible. Hallelujah. Sometimes we get a little babied when we see the big screen and we can look up there. But it's good to make sure we're opening our Bible and make sure we're reading this so we know. Amen. All right. Then he said to them, so this is Jesus. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned, and these signs will follow those who believe. Do we have believers in the house today? We are believers, amen? In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. And I just want to preface there, that is protection. That is not you go out and pick up a snake on the side of the road or go find one in the desert. Don't do that. This is, if this happens and you come across a deadly snake, we have authority over that. Hallelujah. All right. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Glory to God. Those are signs that follow believers. Amen. Let's go to John 14:12. That's the Great Commission Jesus was telling us before he left this earth. He told us that was what he said to us to do. These are things that we need to be seeing in our lives on a daily occurrence. John 14:12. Hallelujah. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these will he do. Can you just point to your safe and say, I can do greater works. It's actually a little bit hard to say sometimes because you're like, hold on, I'm going to do greater works than Jesus? I'm going to do that. Sometimes there's something in there that your mind's just kind of, okay, that's what the Bible says, but do I really believe that? I'm going to do greater works than Jesus? I mean, that's what it says. Now he does tell us how. So let's look here. Because I go to my Father. Verse 13, and whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Verse 15, if you love me and keep my commandments, and I will pray, ask the Father. So pray, I will pray thee. So in the King James, it says, I will pray the Father. That means I will ask the Father. Other translations, when they translated that word, they use the word ask. Here they use the word pray, but it means I will ask the Father. And he will give you another helper. So he says he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth. Now we will see that correlating very closely together, the Spirit of truth and the Helper, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Glory to God. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. That is a promise. Jesus is telling them of a promise to come. Let's drop down to verse 15. Hallelujah. This is good. Jesus is telling us something. Oh, 25. I'm sorry. Verse 25. Thank you. Thank you, honey. All right. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. All right. So Jesus is still talking here. But the helper, he tells us who the helper is now. The Holy Spirit. Amen. He's very clear about who the helper is. Whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. He's our teacher, amen? And bring to you remembrance of all things that I have said to you. Hallelujah. He's going to help our memory here. It brings to our remembrance. Hallelujah. That's the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. Amen. All right, let's go to John 16:5. We're going to see a little bit more of what Jesus told his disciples about the Helper, about the Holy Spirit, about the Spirit of truth. John 16:5. Hallelujah. The word is good. Amen. But now I go away to him who sent me. And none of you ask me, where are you going? Because I have said these things to you. Jesus already explained what was going to happen. All right. Sorrow has filled your heart, he said. Verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage. Who likes to have an advantage in life? We all like to, especially if we're playing games. We played games over the break here, and it was fun. It's fun to have an advantage. All right. That I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper, all right, there he is again, the helper. The Amplified says, comforter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who needs some comforting sometimes?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We need the comforter in our life. The advocate.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. An intercessor.
Yeah.
A counselor.
Yeah.
A strengthener.
Amen.
Standby. Glory to God. That's the helper Jesus is talking about. That's the Holy Spirit. Amen. He will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will... These are the things that Jesus has said what the Holy Spirit does. These are things that the Holy Spirit does. Let's go through them together. He will convict the world of their sin. That's something that the Holy Spirit does. That's not your job. All right? Point yourself. That's not my job. That's not my job. That's the Holy Spirit's job. We don't have to do that. That's the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's not for us to do. He will convict the world of sin. That's the Holy Spirit on the inside of them, showing them. If the Holy Spirit doesn't show them of sin, they won't know that they need a Savior.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
We don't know how ugly and how horrible it is to be separated from God unless the Holy Spirit goes inside and says, hey, you need a Savior. Hey, there's sin in your life. You're separated from God right now. The Holy Spirit does that. Amen? And says, and of righteousness. Basically, how to live a life of right standing with God. That's the Holy Spirit showing us, putting to our remembrance, like it just said in verse 25 over here. He puts to our remembrance, hey, the Word of God says this. Hey, you need to watch your anger. Hey, you need to get this gossip out of your life. Okay, that's the Holy Spirit showing us how to live a righteous life. Amen? And it says, of judgment. And we're going to get into that in a second. Verse 9, of sin, because they do not believe me. We just went through that. Verse 10, of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you will see me no more. Verse 11, of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is here, and he's putting judgment on the world. Hallelujah. To bring the things of the Lord and the kingdom of heaven into place. Amen. All right, verse 12. Jesus says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. They weren't ready to hear some things.
Yeah.
However, when he, the Spirit of truth, there it is again, the Spirit of truth. How many knows we need the Spirit of truth to be alive and awake and doing what it needs to do on this earth and in America today? Amen. Hallelujah. And he is doing that. Hallelujah. Spirit of truth. He will judge you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority. The Holy Spirit does not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I say that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Hallelujah. This isn't something hidden. This is something declared. Amen. The Holy Spirit declares it to us. All right. So hallelujah. We're just unwrapping that gift. Amen. We're just going through things. We're seeing things. We just saw what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. So hallelujah. So sometimes in the Christian world, we do hear some things. We hear God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But when you really start to think about that, God the Holy Spirit, do we really believe that the Holy Spirit is God? Do we really? God the Holy Spirit, are we reverencing the Holy Spirit like we would reverence and honor Father God? Do we really reverence the Holy Spirit like we would honor Jesus as if he walked in the room? Do we honor the Holy Spirit and what he's trying to do in our service, in our life, when he's speaking to us? Do we honor that the same as honoring God the Father? Are we honoring God the Holy Spirit in the same way? We need to be checking ourselves. The Bible, we know, there's three in one. Amen? Let's turn to that scripture. Let's see it for ourselves. Let's go to 1 John 5:7. For there are three that bear witness in heaven. Hallelujah. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. Glory to God. The Word. Why did it say the Word? Let's go over quickly to John 1:1. Let's figure out why did he use the Word instead of the Son of God? Why did he use that? Hallelujah. And I love how that is put there. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. These three are one. John 1:1. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. Hallelujah, glory. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. So when we read the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, that explains this in John 1:1. The beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hallelujah. Amen. So yes, we do see three in one. We do see these in operation, and we do see these in operation still to this day. But sometimes when we're kind of new, being a believer, or I remember being a child going through some of these scriptures and learning and different things, there was some things that kind of started to trip me up a little bit. And I don't know if you guys were ever there, but some scriptures, they talk about baptism. And one baptism, but it was like, okay, is this baptism in water? Is it what is this talking about? Well, there's actually three different baptisms, and we're going to go through those together because this can kind of trip some people up as they read their Bible, as they're learning some things. So let's take a look at these three baptisms. So Romans 6:3. Because if we don't get this right, then as we go through other scriptures, it's going to be a little bit difficult to see the difference between, okay, they're talking about this, or are they talking about this? Romans 6:3. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also should we walk in newness of life. Hallelujah. We know that the baptism that he's talking about here, this is baptism unto salvation. This is baptism of when you receive Jesus as Lord of your life, that you are baptized with Christ. Amen. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism unto death. He took our place. Amen. He took our place on the cross and in the grave. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Hallelujah. He makes all things new. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12:13. 1 Corinthians 12:13. This is also talking about being baptized unto salvation. When we receive Jesus as Lord. 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. One Spirit. We were all baptized into one body. This is the body of Christ. This is salvation when you accept Jesus as Lord in your life. This is what they're talking about here. Now, there is a second baptism. Let's go to Matthew 3:11, and we're going to examine that. We're still unwrapping that gift, amen? We're just unwrapping things, just peeling it back, seeing what the Holy Spirit has for us today. Matthew 3:11. I indeed, now this is John the Baptist speaking. I indeed baptize you with water and to repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Hallelujah. We see that there. Now, the baptism that he did was an outward baptism unto repentance. We have this here in this church. We also do this. We get water baptized. That is a show, public show, that you have accepted Jesus, that you're leaving your old man down, you're coming up a new man, and we're living in this newness of life like the scripture talked about. This is water baptism. Let's go to 1 Peter 3:21. 1 Peter 3:21. Amen. 1 Peter 3:21, and this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body. This is not a big bath, okay? He's trying to tell them that. This is not a bath. This is not removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of clear conscience toward God. Amen. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, there is a third baptism. Let's go into Acts 2:32. And this is Peter speaking here. And there's so much more scriptures concerning this, but to get everything in, we just have to kind of go through the ones that we need to see. So yes, look these up. Read your Bible. Research this stuff. Get something in your spirit so that the Holy Spirit can remind you of the Word of God. Amen? Acts 2:32. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we were all witnesses. They saw him. Peter's saying, hey, we saw him raised up. This is the one that Jesus God has raised up, that we were all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and now received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, that now they have received. Remember the promise that Jesus was talking about. He's saying that now they received the promise of the Holy Spirit. He poured out this which you now see and hear. So there's something that you see and something that you hear concerning the Holy Spirit being poured out. Amen? Let's go to Acts 19:1. And we're going to look at some examples. Some examples of this. Hallelujah. Acts 19:1. And it happened, while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, okay, so he found some disciples, all right? He said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. No one has told them that. I feel like there's a lot of times in the church today that the gift of the Holy Spirit is somewhere lost in the attic or lost underneath the bed or lost in the closet, and we need to get him out. We need to be able to tell believers, we need to be able to have the Holy Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit, in our church and in our life. Hallelujah. So they said, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, in what then were you baptized? Okay, so he's asking. So he knows there's different kinds of baptisms here. So they said, into John's baptism, which we know is the water baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid their hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with new tongues and prophesied. Hallelujah. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them. Came upon them. And they spoke with new tongues and prophesied. Hallelujah. This is what Jesus was talking about when those signs will follow those that believe. Speak with new tongues. He said that way before all this started happening. He said that way before the Holy Spirit came to earth. Amen? Let's go to Acts 8:5. So we're going to see another example. Then, okay, so Acts 8:5. I still hear some pages. Acts 8:5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeding the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who were oppressed. And many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. Glory to God. And there was a great joy in the city. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, now an interesting person comes into play in this story. So let's read through here. But there was a certain man called Simon who previously, can everybody say previously? Practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest. So he was pretty well known. This man is the great power of God. Now, was he really the great power of God at that point? No, he was not. It was sorcery that he was using. It was not a great power of God. So, and they heeded to him because he had astonished them with the sorceries for a long time. So he was in this for a long time. But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Hallelujah. Then Simon himself also believed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip. And he was amazed, seeing the miracles and the signs which were done. Hallelujah. So it blew his sorcery out of the water. Amen. The signs and the miracles that God does is way greater, hallelujah, than the things of Satan and the enemy. Amen. Verse 14. Now when the apostles were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, so it got back to them, the apostles, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. All right, so we hear that word again, fallen upon. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Now it goes on, and Simon, he was still getting his mind renewed. He had actually asked if he could... Okay, and it says, verse 18, and when Simon saw that through the laying on of hands the apostles, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. And he got some correction and some guidance in that area. He needed to renew his mind and get some guidance, and that's not how things work. And that goes on to say that. But for right here, we see that in these examples, we see that there was salvation. We see that there was new disciples. There was salvation. Then we see that there was baptism. They were baptized into John's baptism, so they even got water baptized. But there was another baptism that they talked about, a specific thing, the Holy Spirit that had came upon them. And we need to know that there is another experience as our walk in Christ, in our Christian walk. Yes, there is salvation. Hallelujah. Yes, there is baptism. Glory to God. There is another step in your Christian walk, and that is the infilling of the Holy Spirit in your life. Now, I do want to say, when you are saved, the Holy Spirit is working in you. The Holy Spirit's in you, working things, doing remembrance and different things in your life, guiding you, helping you, being the helper. But there is another experience of the Holy Spirit came upon them. And this is what the Bible is talking about. Amen. All right. Glory to God. Okay, so Jesus said, okay, when the helper comes, and then this had said he had already come. So when did the Holy Spirit actually come to earth? Let's figure that out. We're still unwrapping this gift. We're still figuring things out about the Holy Spirit. So when did the Holy Spirit come to earth? Let's go to Acts 1:8. Jesus said that he had to leave so that the helper could come, right? So Jesus ascended to heaven. And in Acts 1:8, this is actually Jesus speaking here, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon, there's the word again, has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Glory to God. So to us, it's you shall be my witnesses to Bullhead City. You should be my witnesses to Arizona. You should be my witnesses to the United States and to the ends of the earth. Amen. Because these are written for us too. Amen. Let's go to Acts 2:1. Are you guys getting this morning? Hallelujah. It's good just digging into the word. It's good to just get some teaching. Just get some good word in us. Amen. Acts 2:1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, that was a celebration that they did at that time. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Glory to God. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. There's that word fire again. You see the Holy Spirit and you see fire connected. As a fire, and once sat upon each of them. And one sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. There is a fullness of the Holy Spirit. They were all, can we say the word all? They were all. None was left out. It wasn't like, oh, well, they're going to get the Holy Spirit, but these people over here, they need to tarry a little longer, and then they'll get it. No, no, it's all. All. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes, and I feel like it's kind of happening in this service right now, but as we opened gifts for Christmas, there's the people that open the gifts like really fast and make a big mess. And then there's the people, I have one daughter like this, that open, just get the tape and like take their finger and like open the little bit of the tape. And then they're trying to peek through and okay, what is this? Oh, I don't know what this is yet. And it'll take another little spot. I feel like we're doing that today too as we unwrap this gift. Like some people are like, yes, Holy Spirit, let's just unwrap it. And then there's some people that are like, let's see this next scripture. Let's see what's going on here. And so anyways, but glory to God, we're going to get there. Amen. We need to have God, the Holy Spirit, active in our life. We need to have the benefits of the Holy Spirit, and there's so many benefits. We're not going to talk about them all today, but there's so many benefits of the Holy Spirit that we need to have in our life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I just want to say, who's the slow unwrap present people in this place? Who's the fast unwrap present people? Is there more fast unwrap? Okay, you're more of a medium. Okay. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's see here. I do want to debunk some ideas, some lies that are concerning this with the Holy Spirit. So there's some different things. Let's see here. Oh, okay. Some things that some people say, oh, don't have too much of that Holy Spirit stuff because it will scare off unbelievers. Okay? That is a direct lie to the Word of God. We're going to find it in Scripture. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians 14:22. They actually address this lie clearly and accurately in the Word of God, and we do not need to be believing this lie. 1 Corinthians 14:22. Therefore, tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. Isn't that a direct difference between what the lie that sometimes people try to say or tell us here in church, oh, don't have too much of that Holy Spirit stuff, it will scare off the unbelievers. That's not what the Bible says. That is not what the Bible says. And if we believe this word as the truth of the word of God, then we need to see that as a lie and get that out of our mindset. Amen? says, therefore, tongues are for a sign not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. Yeah. Amen. But prophesy is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. Yeah. You think that it would be the opposite. You think that prophecy would be for the unbeliever, and you think that tongues would be a sign for the believer. That's not what the Bible says. That is not what the Bible says. The Bible says, therefore, tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but for unbelievers. Yeah. But prophesying is for, not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. Amen. Hallelujah. Just want to get that correct. All right. We know that things concerning the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues and tongues and interpretation concerning all of that, it's biblical. It's a benefit, it's a choice, and a gift from God. It is truly a gift from God. Amen. So I'm just going to read through here. It's a very long chapter, and we're not going to get into all of this morning, but there are some things that I want to pull out. So in 1 Corinthians 14, it gives direction and clarification. What was happening as when we saw, and when we just read up here, when Peter was saying in Acts 2, he was saying what was happening and how the Holy Spirit had came upon them. Now, the church grew massively at that point. Thousands of people were being saved, and the body of Christ was growing massively at that time. And so, here, Paul needed to give some direction and some clarification of some things that were happening. So, about the gift of a tongue given to the church body, which needs interpretation. Who has ever heard of a tongue and interpretation? When someone actually speaks in tongues and then someone actually interprets. Usually that is with a microphone and that is given to the church body as an announcement, as directly to the church. Okay, there's tongues and interpretation. That is a benefit of the Holy Spirit, and we need to have it, and we do have it in our church. Hallelujah. So there's that. There's also praying in the Spirit. That is a direct prayer language to Father God. You're not addressing the church. You are praying to Father God in your heavenly prayer language, which is a major benefit that you're praying out the perfect will of God. The Bible says when you pray in tongues, you pray out the perfect will of God. How many wants that in their life? That you might not know in your English language what you need to be praying, but we have the benefit of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. Well, we can pray out the perfect will of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Let's see here. In verse 18 of 1 Corinthians 14, Paul says he prayed in the Spirit more than them all. He was praying in the Spirit more than them all. We need to be praying in the Spirit, amen? Verse 14 says, when you pray in tongues, your spirit prays. Yes. Speaking in tongues is a benefit. In 1 Corinthians 14:1, pursue and desire spiritual gifts. He's telling the church, pursue. Are we pursuing the things of the Holy Spirit here in our church? Yeah. Are we pursuing the things of the Holy Spirit in our life? Pursue and desire the spiritual gifts. Praying in tongues allows you to speak directly to God. 1 Corinthians 14:2, for if you have the ability to speak in tongues, you are speaking only to God. Since people don't understand you, you will be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it is all mysterious. Your mind's not going to comprehend. Your mind will not comprehend. Praying in tongues strengthens your spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:4. And I'm sorry, I didn't write down the translation that I'm reading from here. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally. It builds up. It edifies. It edifies. It builds up. It builds you up personally. But one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. That could be prophecy, and that could be tongues and interpretation when you address the church. Amen? Glory to God. Praying in tongues allows you to pray even when you don't know what to pray. It says Romans 8:26, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we do not know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 14:39. It says, "Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak with tongues." Amen. How did he know that was going to affect the body of Christ in the future? How did he know that? He specifically said and addressed this, do not forbid to speak with tongues. And we will not forbid to speak with tongues in this place. We will desire, we will pursue all the benefits of the Holy Spirit and what he has for our life. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to just address one more thing. And then soon I'll ask the praise and worship team to get up to the front and everything. But just a couple more minutes and I'll have you guys go up there because we are going to pray. But hallelujah, when I was younger, I remember going through some of these thoughts with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues and all these different things that I was learning. And I just remembered thinking, I don't know if I want to speak in tongues because I don't know what I'm going to be saying. And what if I'm saying something evil? Or what if I'm like cussing and I just don't know what I'm saying? You know, those things go through your head because you don't know what you're saying. So you don't want to say something bad. So you might as well not speak in tongues because, you know, there's actually what the Bible actually addresses this thought. Okay. So first off, in Luke 10:19, and I'm just going to go there briefly. Luke 10:19, he said, "I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy." Okay, so I just wanted to put that out there. Can we drop down to Luke 11:9? Luke 11:9. "So I ask to you, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. For everyone who asks, receives." Amen? "And he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will you give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent instead of a fish?" This is like when I was younger, asking those questions. I'm going to ask for the Holy Spirit, but somehow I'm going to speak something evil? No. God's a good father. He's not going to give you something evil when there's something good, especially the Holy Spirit, who is the Godhead Trinity. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 12, "Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil," he's talking about our natural fleshly, evil, "know how to give good gifts to your children," and how many did give good gifts to their children this Christmas, amen, "how much more?" Yeah. "How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Yeah. Glory to God. Glory. Amen. "How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" How much more? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to have the praise and worship team come up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And then if Brittany and Richard, if you want to come up. Hallelujah. So first off, we see that we need to accept Jesus as Lord in our life and take part in that newness of life that he talked about in the Word. Amen. You need to have salvation and then do the next step, water baptism, which we do have planned for next year. And then also, we need to be stepping into the things of the Holy Spirit and taking that benefit that the Holy Spirit has for us for our life. So sometimes you haven't prayed in the Holy Spirit for a long time. Maybe you had it when you were younger. Maybe it's been many years since you've spoken tongues. That's okay. God can give you that newness. God can revitalize that within you. So we have Pastor Brittany and Richard, and then Pastor Ricky and I will be up here. And I'm just going to have everybody repeat after me for the salvation prayer. And then we're going to have a time that we're just going to sing in the Spirit. We're just going to take advantage of praying in the Spirit, amen? And this is with your heavenly prayer language, amen? So hallelujah. So let's just say this together. Father God, I receive your Son as Lord of my life. I believe he died for me, that he rose again, that he's sitting on the right hand of God, that He's taken my sin. And now I can stand in right standing with God Almighty. Jesus, I take You as Lord of my life. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. If that was your first time doing that, please talk to us. We have a book for you. We want to show you the next steps. But we're just going to sing through a little bit here. Let's just all stand to our feet. We're going to do this as one body, one church. Amen. And Pastor Ricky and I will be over here. And then I'm just going to have the worship team, if you guys just start singing a little bit, we'll have some time of worship. If you guys want to take that next step and receive the Holy Spirit or get renewed with speaking with tongues again, I want to just invite you down. If you already have it, that's fine. You can speak in your regular English, and then you can speak in tongues also. But we're going to practice this. We're going to take advantage of this morning. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if that is you, you can make your way down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if you're already filled with the Spirit, with the benefit of speaking in tongues, let's do that. Hallelujah. We worship You, Lord. We worship You, Lord. Hallelujah. We worship You, Lord. We worship You, Lord. Praise Your mighty name. Praise Your mighty name. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a couple people that I do want to lift up in prayer that aren't in service today. Father God, thank You, Lord, for Your healing power going into those homes right now. Thank You, Jesus, for the stripes that You took on Your back, that took